What is up, everybody? This is Braden from Flint Mastering, and I am the host and content curator of the Mixing Music Podcast exclusive episodes. And today we have for you an exclusive archive, which means you're going to hear an exclusive episode that DK and I recorded almost a year ago. You're going to have the chance to hear what our exclusive episodes are all about and how much fun and learning goes on between me and DK as we discuss technical tips and important techniques in relation to producing, mixing, and mastering. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to be a part of the exclusive content we provide twice a week, you can do so by heading over to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Thank you so much for listening. We love you, we appreciate you, and we couldn't do this podcast without you. I hope you enjoy this episode of the exclusive archives. And with that, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Welcome back to the subscriber-only segment of the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, James Dean Mixes, and with me here today is a man who has a last name, and I forget that he has one sometimes, DK Waddell.
That's true. That is how you say my last name, and I don't really care for it much. I do think it's funny that, like, I have siblings. My brother's also married a Japanese woman. Me and my brother, we're turning Waddell into a Japanese name. Like, it's funny. There's, like, more and more Japanese people with the last name Waddell. We're just making sure that that spreads across all of the world. Waddell is no longer a Scottish last name. It's just a Japanese.
That's your drive to repopulate the earth.
Yeah, man. That's right.
The Japanese Waddell.
Yeah, we are the Waddell clan. No, but for real, apparently the Waddell clan is like a real thing. Like, my dad has like a proper, what is it, that Scottish kilt that he's like gotten from his grandpa or whatever. Like, oh, traditional. Snap. Yeah, like there's like a whole thing, apparently. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I found out that I have a friend. One of my clients is like super Scottish, and apparently like her mother taught her a lot about some old Scottish language. I forget what it's called off the top of my head, as well as like some Celtic folklore and stuff. And
cool.
Yeah, dude, it's like it's really interesting. Like, even though my last name is super like Scottish, I am so Asian. I am so Asian. I mean, I've told you before, like, internally.
You don't look at all Scottish.
Yeah, I've told you before, like, as far as, like, how my mind works, like, my common sense, I feel more Japanese. Like, when I talk to a therapist, I personally prefer a Japanese therapist.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have a hard time relating to an American therapist or, like, yeah, it's different. So, like, that makes me being called Waddell even funnier. So, like, when I do credits online and stuff, like, I actually don't care if you credit me as DK or DK Waddell. In fact, I kind of prefer people just credit me as a mixer and just say DK. Spelled correctly, which is D-E-E space K-E-I.
Yeah.
I also think it's, like, a catchier name. It's cooler.
No, it is. Yeah, I remembered it pretty quick. Is your dad at all, like, Scottish? Like... Did he act at all Scottish?
No,
or just...
he's like French. He was adopted.
Oh, shit.
So he's not even Scottish. It's just a family thing at this point. Yeah, it's just he was adopted. I mean, we didn't even know he was French until he got his 23andMe. Also, my dad's first name is D, but his middle name is Keith, and my first name is D as well, and K is my middle name. But because my dad has always gone by D, I've always gone by DK. Huh. And that's why my oldest son's name is D. Kaname, and he just goes by Kaname.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
My dad goes by his first name. I go by first and middle, and my son goes by his middle.
Oh.
So there's like no confusion.
Cool. There you all go. Now we know more about DK's lineage with his name.
D is such a perfect name, too, because it's like racially ambiguous.
Yeah.
If you hear the word D... It's not like Dakota, you know? It's like, oh, okay, this guy's from Colorado. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Or you sit there for a second, like, wondering if they're going to set you up for, like, a D's nuts kind of thing.
Oh, dude, I do that quite often. Classic.
Yeah, I know, it is. Yeah,
I mean, the easiest, the lowest hanging fruit is I tell people, like, hey, do you know what my first name is? And they only know me as DK, so they're like, I don't know, actually. Did DK the initial this entire time? And I'm like, yeah, D's nuts.
That's like the... Never mind, I was about to do another D's nuts thing, but we have to...
Let's get into today's episode.
We'll get into our clip. Coming up is a clip by mixing engineer Ben Baptier. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's on a mix with the masters that he did, talking about master bus saturation. Roll the clip.
Ever one thing I ever do on Isotope Trash, to put the thing into multiband, it's all about the top end. And I will always use tape saturation as the saturation type that I'm using. What I can do is I can really hone in on the very top end of the mix and give it the energy and the feeling that I really do love. And especially with a song like this, is a perfect example of this, it needs to feel so emotional from the very get-go, but you don't have loads of stuff to play with. And that reaction that you can feel to the top end of a mix can really kind of enhance an emotional kind of response from the very get-go.
Alrighty. So as we saw, he used Isotope Trash, which is a plugin that I have not used before, but DK has. And he used it in a way to kind of saturate the high end of the mix. DK, what are your thoughts on what he did?
So first off, I think Trash is... Trash 2 is the current edition right now. I think Trash is way, way awesome. Even myself, when I saw this clip, I was like, oh, you can't even buy it anymore.
You can't?
I just looked it up right now. Yeah, you can't even buy it.
Oh, that's why I was confused. I was like, I've never seen this.
Oh, what? Yeah, it's not even for sale anymore. I wonder if they're going to make a new version, but I still have it, and Trash is awesome. I think it's like, all it is just like a futz box, like a distortion box, and it's fantastic. You get like hyper distortion, creative distortion, but anyway, the point, I think Trash is awesome from Isotope, and I don't know why it's not being sold. I wonder if that's some sort of like foreshadowing into a new version, Trash 3, coming out soon, which would make sense. But Trash is awesome. But let's talk about tape saturation in the top end across the entire mix. I mean, it's used subtly. I think it's a great idea. Something similar that you can do similarly to that is Spectre from Waves Factory. I use Spectre all the time. You see me use it. It looks like a additive EQ. It looks like a parametric EQ, but it's actually a... it's actually a saturation tool, distortion tool, and add saturation to specific frequencies just like an EQ. So you're not just adding frequencies, you're saturating the frequency that you're adding. So it's really cool. Anyway, first off, tape saturation, you got odd order harmonics in the top end, depending on how, I don't remember some, my guess for any sort of tape style saturation, it's either going to be really smooth. There's also probably going to be, there's also a lot of tape style plugins, saturation plugins, where it harshens out the top, especially because it's selective. I wonder, I don't know what's going to happen. He didn't show before and after, but let's just stick with the idea of boosting with saturation rather than an EQ. I'm a huge fan of that. And the second idea, which is there's a lot of energy in the top end, for sure. For sure, there's a lot of energy in the top end when used correctly.
Yeah. Do you use like when you do saturate the master bus? Do you mix it in? You know how you could. There's sometimes have a mix knob of dry or wet.
Sometimes 100%. Sometimes, yeah. No, it totally depends. Yeah. Sometimes I don't usually do Spectre or any sort of frequency dependent saturation. I usually just do overall saturation by the time I get to the mix bus.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a, yeah, I'm trying to think. There's, I don't use trash and I don't use it on the top end. And I believe specifically, personally, that if I want to make the top end brighter, I wouldn't do it on the mix bus. I do it on the individual tracks or at least smaller subdivision of a bus, like the vocal bus rather than the entire mix bus or just the instrumental bus at the very least. That being said, I like the idea of boosting with saturation. I like the idea of utilizing top end correctly. The same 2 points that I said earlier. I forgot what your question was. Did I answer it?
No, in a sense, I guess. Yeah. DK, you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but another top end thing in terms of using tape saturation is, my understanding is, if you slow down the RPM, like do a 7.5 or something, that does more of taming the top end than boosting it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that changes the literal speed. So like in an analog domain, from what I understand, I don't have experience using tape. I'm too young for that, which is crazy because I'm not young. It's just funny to think about. Yeah, that literally changes the speed of the tape head. The faster it goes, the more information you can cram into the tape, but you're using a lot more tape. And tape is fairly expensive. So if you can get away with half the speed, you can save half the money on tape. But in it, you have to put in a lot more information per millimeter of tape, right? So you lose, usually that first information that gets lost is the top end.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does.
It does. It's a good way to tame it.
It does tame it because there's less information able to be written at that speed on a tape machine. So
yeah. Cool. And then something that I do in terms of saturating the master bus is, there's two plugins that I kind of go back and forth between using. I use the BB tube a decent amount if it's like a more punchy kind of mix.
Which one's the BB two again?
Is that what it's called? BB Tubes, the Waves one?
Magma BB Tubes? Oh, I see.
Yeah, Magma BB Tubes. That's it. Yeah,
I've used
that
a few times on the mix bus. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one. It's in my head, it kind of gives that kind of, what's the word? Post Malone genre kind of shine to it.
What? Okay, sure.
Yeah, at least to me, that's like what I hear. I also use, not both, in separate occasions. I use the Black Box. That's on Plugin Alliance.
Yeah.
I'll do some boosting of like the diode and triode thing, and then I'll blend back the mix knob so it's not like fully there. So it doesn't make it too sharp or whatever. But yeah, it's fun. It's a fun thing to mess around on the master bus. But it's something, like everything you do, to be careful with and not use too much of. Because it could be exciting to hear something get a lot louder and cool, but that could also cause things to be too harsh or to not sound good or fall apart. So, yeah, it's always something to use with caution, but it can make your mix sound really cool, too.
Yeah, I do. For me, personally, when I want to boost top end, I'm a huge fan of like a Baxandall EQ. You can get the Coral Bax EQ, like on a mix bus, if you want to boost some more top end. Coral Bax EQ is free from Acoustica. If you have Plugin Alliance, there's also the Dangerous Bax EQ that's included in any sort of, if you are a subscriber of it. A Baxandall EQ basically is a type of EQ with very broad high and low pass, high shelf and low shelf filters. It's very broad. So you can have it say that it's boosting 22K, but that broad high shelf is starting from like 800 hertz.
Oh, okay.
So it's really smooth. Yeah. It's really smooth. Mog does a similar thing, like their airband. That's why it's like, you have, the reason why you want to boost like 40K on the Mog EQ isn't because anybody's hearing the 40K, but if you're boosting 5 dBs at 40K, what you're really doing is a really broad, really subtle thing where you're hearing the brightness a little bit earlier, and you're like, you're changing like from 5K and up. So like that shelf starts around 5 to 10. I don't know what frequency specifically off the top of my head, but you go high up. So you're doing half the amount of, it's more subtle, it's smoother. So really it's 10 dBs at 40K. You're boosting 10 dBs at 40K, but like by the time it gets down to 20 dBs, when you're like, when some people can start and most people can hear it at like 15K, it's like, it's already down to like 4 dBs because of that smooth shelf, right? So it's just really easy to get in the perfect amount. And because you're boosting the entire listenable frequency range, it's just a really smooth frequency. It's a really smooth type of EQ. And in order to do that with a plugin, it's through Oprah sampling. We won't get into it. But yeah, Baxandall EQ, Coral is free, or like a Moog type thing. If you use any sort of like Amex style EQ or like the Precision EQ from Universal Audio or any sort of Amex style EQ, there's a bunch of them on Plugin Alliance. Like, for example, I've been using like the NIF, the Sonoma from NIF Audio. What you do on the top end, the fifth band, any sort of like even the SPL PQ, you go to the top band to like, usually it's like 27 or 26 kilohertz. Don't do shelf mode, put it on 0.4Q and you boost a couple dBs. That's also typically a very smooth style of top end EQ as well.
Awesome.
But that's like boosting it, where in the video he's talking about saturating it, which is a totally different thing.
Yeah. But again, it's like, it helps with the top end of the mix. Awesome. I think on that note, we'll end things. Thank you all for listening. Feel free to check us out on YouTube, Twitch. Give DK's website a check.
DKMixes.com/videos.
And he also has, I don't know if we plugged this for a while, but he has really cool video courses that he's done on there that I did back in the day, and they were super helpful.
You did?
So go and check that out. Yeah, I actually did.
I still get like some income from that, like very, very little, but I still get a few customers from that here and there.
Yeah, they're helpful. They have stems that like you could practice on. It's really cool.
Maybe I should do more. Maybe I should do more.
Yeah. No, yeah, you should. Feel free to check that out. Check out the Mixing Music Podcast, mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors. You can get some good discounts on different websites over there. And until next time, I am James Dean Mixes. DK, sign us out.
Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.